what's going on? Welcome to The Doug Show. I'm Doug Cunnington, and I'm chatting with Shauna Newman today. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing awesome, and it's good to see you. It's been a few weeks or months or something like that since we've chatted. It's been a little busy with who knows what, travel. I play guitar more now. I'm just doing a lot of random stuff that, you know, means I'm not having as many interviews, but I'm putting the back in the show. So there's a lot more interviews coming up. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff today. We're going to get an update, hear what you've been working on. You have agency work. You've been spending more time on YouTube, a little vibe coding. So we'll have perhaps a friendly debate. I'm not sure where you stand on this, but before we hit record, I started ranting about it, but we'll get into that. KDP books, AI, SEO, and a lot more. So first off, where do you spend like most of your time? Because there's a lot of things that you're working on. So I'm just curious like how you prioritize things and where you do spend your time.
Yeah, I get bored easily. So I tend to just hop around a lot. I try to make schedules, you know, where like the first half of Monday I work on X and then the second half I work on Y. That's great in theory, but it never really works for me because like maybe something takes me a little longer to do or whatever. But yeah, agency work is making up most of my income. So that's where most of my time is going. It's not my favorite activity though. So I'm always doing other things on the side. Lately, I've been working a lot on directory sites, AI, SEO, a little bit of Pinterest, and I'm just getting back into KDP books for Q4.
Gotcha. Yes, you sound a little ADHD, but it keeps you, I mean, the thing is like when the money's coming in, it's like, oh, it's very clear you need to take care of that portion to pay the bills and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So, and you were doing some agency work over the years anyway, like here and there, because oftentimes you had people, contractors working for you doing some work on your site or sites, and then you were able to kind of have the overflow. They had extra capacity, so you had client work. Can you talk about like pivoting and I mean, basically, like we were earning money from websites back in the day, and then you had to figure out how to, you know, not get a job, keep doing what you were doing. So how did that pivot look?
Well, for me, it has resulted in a lot more active selling. You know, and when I was in college, I actually worked in telesales. So it's not like new to me to be, you know, selling stuff. But I don't think it's something I actually really enjoy. You know, it's like setting up cold emails or, you know, actually doing Zoom calls with people like on the regular, you know, like I'm good if I'm wearing different clothes from one day to the next working at home. Right. So like, it's like, it has been a bit of a change for me in terms of, you know, how I'm structuring even just my work week, because, you know, I may have to have a call in the morning and a call in the afternoon. On that call, I'm having to be selling products. Often it's explaining SEO to people who don't really grasp what it is. So it's like a completely different mindset to, I'm going to spin up a bunch of niche sites and write about, you know, SEO keywords and things like that. So it is a big shift, although I do think for people who have experience in ranking niche sites, a lot of those skills do transfer over. The challenge is going to be the things like selling, and the things that are very unique to a niche, like SaaS SEO has differences than local SEO. For instance, e-com SEO also has differences. I've had clients in each, and they're all like slightly different skill sets. Like the 80% is the same, but the 20% is different for each of them. And that's something that you have to learn that we didn't really do, you know, for niche sites. So
is it pretty easy to pick that stuff up?
I think so. I like learning new things though. And I like the challenge of that. For me, I feel like e-commerce SEO was the most challenging thing I'd learned from niche sites because, you know, you have all these products that you're also having to rank. So you're having to optimize product pages, you're having to optimize collection pages, things like that. So it's like a bigger picture. SaaS SEO, I actually like it a lot because you're doing a lot of things focusing on the customer journey. So you're building entire content funnels, kind of like we did with niche sites. You're also doing a lot of versus articles. So maybe like instantly versus another cold email software if you were doing, you know, SEO for that. So I really like that. Then, of course, local SEO. I think it is easy mode. I think it is the easiest transition for people who were doing niche sites because it is so incredibly easy to rank locally. You send some citations to their GBP, you optimize it by filling out everything, you're doing regular uploads to it. Hello, they're top three in Google Maps, so you get paid. So I think that's why so many people, including myself, have taken the easy mode route whenever possible. And like I said, it is a natural transition, I feel like, for people who did niche sites.
And do those clients make up like the majority of the folks that you're working with just because like it's easier for you to get results and that sort of thing?
Yeah, that is what I've started focusing on. The problem with local SEO clients, I feel like it is so easy to rank that you don't get as long as of a retainer as you do for an e-commerce client or a SaaS client. And that's just the nature of the work, right? It takes longer to achieve similar results with e-commerce SEO and SaaS SEO. So what that means is you're having more churn when you're doing local clients. I know that there are some people who kind of string along their local clients or maybe put them on longer contracts. That's not really my vibe. So for me, I probably have a lot more churn than most people just because I'm like, you know, I'm not going to just take your money when you don't need to pay me. So
About how long would one of those like shorter engagements where you get results fairly quickly, how long do those last?
3 months. That's usually the shortest. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. And let's move on a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we'll stick in the AI or the SEO area, but like talk about the AI version of it. So can you lay out the, you know, the main idea that you're trying to achieve with AI SEO if people aren't familiar?
Yeah, so AI SEO is basically making sure that you show up in the AI overviews, you know, those AI answers that you're getting in the search engines. You also are trying to show up in, you know, the LLMs, so ChatGPT, Claude, Perplexity, all of those things. And like, you know, the reason why I started getting into it is because clients were asking, you know, how am I showing up, you know, in ChatGPT? So, and I offer AI SEO just because people are calling it that. It's really just SEO for the most part, right? So it's like, it's kind of like the other SEOs. 80% is the same, right? It's the same stuff. And then the other 20% for AI SEO is basically making sure you're at every touch point everywhere on the internet. So it's basically brand building, right? You're making sure that you're in the YouTube carousels. You're making sure that you're in the Reddit answers. You're making sure that you're in Quora. You're in niche forums. You're in listicles, you know, doing your hero links to get into those. You're in places like Medium. If you're a software, you know, like a SaaS, you're getting reviews on, you know, G2 and Capterra and things like that. So it's basically just honestly doing SEO the right way, right? You know, because it's not just about ranking in Google, you know, you have to show up everywhere else. So it's just, yeah.
Gotcha. And is this mostly for clients that you're doing this work where they're like, I want to show up and I want to make sure that I'm out there, mm-hmm. that kind of thing?
Yeah. That's what I'm doing it for. But yeah, like we've gotten e-commerce clients who've been interested in it as well as local clients. It's basically a matter of, you know, going yourself into those LLMs and those AI answers, seeing where they're pulling the sources from so that you can make sure that your clients are in those sources. Of course, the problem is those sources change up a lot, right? So what you may get them in it in month two, and then by month three, they're gone because they've changed what they're using for sources. So,
right. Yeah. So what do you do then? I mean, at least then you have like a longer retainer, right?
Because you're exactly. Like, well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So for me, what I try to do is everything. Like, I think I'm probably priced a little higher than most people because, like I said, I get bored easily. So, and that includes working with the same people. So I want to do it all right the first time so I don't have to see you again. Right. So,
right. Interesting. That's a good, I mean, and it's cheaper for them. Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, as you know, and probably a lot of the audience, I've been doing less of this type of work. So I'm mostly seeing this on the consumer side. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been using ChatGPT or Gemini or these tools as much as I was before.
Oh, interesting.
Which is another I think I'm going to end up doing an episode about this, but I felt like I was just being a little bit lazy and I wasn't able to critically think as well. And it wasn't anything specific, but I'm just like, is this actually saving me time or I'm just like doing less? It is actually not saving me time. It's just like, I'm not thinking as hard and I'm kind of getting bullshit results. So I'm seeing this from the consumer side. And one thing that I've been working on is I'll bring every conversation back around to guitars. So currently, I will skip some details, but currently I have some electric guitars and I was like, I'm gonna put new pickups in there. I'm gonna upgrade them. I'm gonna take out the wiring and do some other stuff. And back in college, I actually took several, like a ton of double E classes. So like, I actually know circuit stuff. I've forgotten everything, but I have, like, I'm familiar. So I should be able to pick it up pretty quickly. All that to say, I have been Googling, you know, different things. The AI overviews are fucking terrible for something like that because there's so much conflicting information. So the specific stuff that I'm looking up is often wrong. So I immediately stopped trusting it. And I was just like, this is bad information. And depending on what you're looking for, it may or may not be accurate,
right? But
you never know when. Yeah. So I'm sure there will be, you know, times where it's accurate, but the algorithms change and I'm just looking at Google AI overviews, but I'm pretty sure if I went other places, there's just inconsistent information because there's so many different sources and there's so many different variables. So I'm better off just like thinking about things on my own. So I'll finish the thought and then I'll just get your feedback on your observations of the pros and cons of using AI overviews. So I ran into some issues and basically over the course of a couple of days, I would unfortunately wake up in the middle of the night and start troubleshooting circuits in my mind, which was fun. You know, you fall asleep and then you have a dream and then you're like, oh, I think if I put a jumper here, I could identify and troubleshoot what the issue is. So I actually was able to do that. And I was like, oh, I'm solving these problems, not immediately. And I'm also not using, you know, other help. Like I was actually chatting with a friend, Alex Cooper, similar situation or similar story that I was saying. And he was like, oh, could you take a picture and then upload it to AI? And I was like, fuck AI. Like, I'm not doing, like, I can figure this out. There's only a few wires. Like, I've done way more complicated things. So anyway, I'm using AI less because I don't want to be stupid, basically. Any thoughts on this?
Yeah. A few months ago, Scott DeLong, the guy who was the guy behind Viral Nova, I think was what it was called and stuff, he sent out a newsletter saying something similar. Basically, he thought it was making him, you know, basically not able to think as well. And I actually have experienced a similar thing running Facebook ads for my agency, right? Because I'll have an idea and then I'll go to ChatGPT and ask it. And then it's like completely different. And then I start second guessing myself, right? And I'm like, am I like totally off here? Do I not know what I'm doing? And then what will happen is I won't do anything. So yeah, so I definitely have experienced that. And then for the AI overviews, I don't trust them at all. If I'm looking up something online, if it is not something that's like new information, I'm trying to find something that was published before ChatGPT, just because I know someone probably actually researched it, you know? The times that I am using, you know, ChatGPT or Perplexity or something like that is when I need to gather a lot of information. If I'm researching something and I don't know where to look for the accurate information. So one of my crazy ideas that I have is I want to start a tour company, like by the end of the year, like taking people around, like Portugal's where I've picked as my first place, just for like 8 to 10 days, stuff like that. And I got this idea because my parents are going on these Viking cruise tours. And I don't know if you know how much these things cost, but they are insane. They pay like $20,000 to go on one. It took them to the weirdest places, right? And then they were like, so we're going to do one next year going to Europe. And I was like, okay, where's it going to take you? And it's like, they're not even seeing any of the big cities. And I was like, number one, no. So now I'm taking my parents to Europe next year, but that's irrelevant. So I'm like, if they are snookering people like my parents for this kind of money and not even taking them on a good trip, what the fuck am I doing? Right. So I went into ChatGPT and I told it what I wanted to do. And I was saying, ask me questions. I think this is the best way to use it. Ask me questions to help me work through this idea. Mm. It asked me like 25 fucking questions, which was crazy. And then it gave me an awesome idea with places to go to find the information. It gave me things that I didn't even know to think about. Like, depending on what state I register the company in for the tours, I have to have a certain type of insurance. Like, I never would have known that otherwise. So that is like where I find the value in AI. But for the most part, I still hate it. And I really look forward to the day where I don't have to use it at all.
Perfect example. And I was going to say, like, there are certainly some really awesome ways to use AI. But in my specific, like, the thing that I was trying to solve, it was like not helping. And then as time goes on, I mean, I think people are like, I'm using it for everything. Yeah. And I think that will, I mean, things will shift. I mean, people are taking a different path. Like, some people are going to have more original ideas and others are going to have like derivative ideas of, you know, nonsense kind of thing. Side note, I'll send a link to you. One of my friends literally has done this. It's called Five Friends Travel. And she's been doing a handful of trips. I mean, she spent essentially like 3 years like going to different events, building community and her network and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, you can niche it down into your own area, but these are like either early retirees or enthusiasts that will retire soon. So she has a style of travel that she likes to do. And, you know, it's not my style. It's like fast paced. However, she's actually doing a couple cruises. Like, she's doing the, like the German and Austrian Christmas market cruise. And then she's doing another one. Actually, my wife and I went on our honeymoon for this. It's an Avalon cruise that goes through the Netherlands and Belgium. There's a lot of beer there. So that's why we went on it. And she, so she's able to go on cool trips. And, you know, there's only a couple cruises. Basically, she ends up planning exactly what she wants to do and then brings like 15 people along.
Yeah. I'm just going to run Facebook ads like the last week of December and early January and see if I get any deposits. And then if I do, I'm going to run with it. If I don't, I'll just, you know, not do it or refund money if I don't get enough.
The one thing that she does a really good job on, which you may or may not need to think about this. It's basically people she all knows, and a lot of them know each other. So you know there's no duds in the group. Because if you run Facebook ads, what kind of people are you gonna get in there? Could just be like random weirdo kind of thing. But it would prove the business model. But there's I could tell you there's 100% like people will pay premium prices to like go on a good tour. And my friend Kristen, it's actually like, I don't know if she's even making money at it. She's essentially just covering her costs to be able to go on these trips. But yeah, they sell out like pretty much instantly. Again, she put in a ton of time to get it rolling, but great idea. Great idea. All right. So any other details on the AI SEO angle or anything like that?
I mean, it's super easy to manipulate. I think if somebody wants to kind of try it out, like half-ass in it, Reddit is the way to go because, you know, Reddit is powering the AI overviews. Most of the answers in Perplexity, although I think they just got sued by Reddit, so that might change. And they used to like really dominate ChatGPT, but that's reduced some. But still, Reddit is driving most things. And you'll also rank that Reddit discussion in the organic results. So.
Got it. So the perfect transition, you're a pro to transition to this other topic, which is, I mean, I'm like yelling at kids to get off my lawn. I'm such an old man. I'm like, Reddit, another thing that I can complain about. But I mean, that's the source of some of these bad AI overviews, because there's a lot of people on Reddit that they kind of talk past each other, and or they're just talking about things that they heard somewhere else, and they have very strong opinions about this stuff. So let's talk about the Reddit marketing, which, I mean, to your point, very effective depending on what you're trying to do. And there are pockets, of course, of Reddit that they have good people there. But I would very small amount of Reddit. So Reddit marketing.
I love Reddit marketing. I've been doing it for my own sites forever. I have had my own subreddits that I have taken control of that match a lot of my niche sites. And that's something that people have just started doing recently for basically both affiliate marketing as well as, you know, controlling the narrative for their products, their clients' products, things like that. I feel like, though, a lot of people are getting tripped up with Reddit because Reddit is very unique in terms of, it's not like the rest of the internet. So if you haven't spent a lot of time there, you're going to go in there and you're going to bomb, right?
Yeah.
There's like tons of inside jokes in Reddit, you know, like poop knife and things like that, which I don't know if you're familiar with, but it's one of my favorite things ever on Reddit in history.
No, is there any way to explain it?
Yeah, it was just a story where one time someone went to someone's house and was really confused because they didn't have a poop knife in the bathroom, because in their house, they always had a knife in the bathroom to chop up their poop so that it wouldn't clog the drains or something like that. And so it was like this iconic thing that's, you know, Reddit lore or whatever. And there's tons of things like that on Reddit. So you'll be in these random threads and someone will just go poop knife, you know, or one of the other million things. And I feel like that's the kind of stuff that you don't really know about unless you've used Reddit a lot. I've used Reddit a lot, probably 15, 20 years, you know. There's also a lot of trolls on Reddit. People on Reddit love puns, things like that. They are also incredibly intelligent in terms of, they know if you're trying to sell to them, if you know, aren't really clever about it. They know immediately if you're using AI to type up your answers, they will call you out, things like that. There's also certain subreddits where the mods are like crazy ban happy, and like you will get booted out of there so fast. So it takes a lot of learning in terms of, you know, what subreddits are safe to go in, what's the language in this specific subreddit. How do they feel about me marketing to them? Do I have to be kind of slick about it? Or can I just do it out in the open? Things like that. Another interesting thing about Reddit is it's easy to get your account banned, but you can keep posting. So you don't really know your account is banned, right? So you have to regularly check either your profile or some of the answers you've done in an incognito window to see if they're actually showing up. So I think people who are new to Reddit end up getting a lot of their accounts just shut down very, very fast. So you have to have aged accounts. And I know that it's really popular to buy aged accounts. People are selling those for a premium. I 100% do not advise doing that, because you want to have an account where you know the history, right? Because as soon as you start straying from that history, it's going to be noticeable. You're also going to need more than one account, but you're going to need unique IPs for those accounts. So I use an anti-detect browser where I have this big spreadsheet where I can put, you know, account one, this is its IP location, here's the login information and all of this. That way I can log into a ton of different accounts to control narratives if I want, upvote my own posts, downvote competing posts, things like that. I have worked many, many months on growing and aging these accounts, because Reddit works on something called karma, which you get by posting and commenting and upvoting and things like that. So you have to really put in a lot of months growing your account naturally before you can start your mass spamming. I have 300 and something accounts right now through my anti-detect browser. So it is, if you're doing this yourself, it is obviously a slog if you're trying to get as many accounts as I have. You don't need this many accounts, right? So if you are, say you have your own SaaS or your own e-commerce store, or maybe your own, I don't know, you want to do affiliate marketing, maybe 20 accounts, 15 to 20 accounts would be enough for you to control the narrative the way you want, get your things ranking the way you want them to. But again, every subreddit you try is going to be unique. in terms of what will work for it, what will get you banned, what will get approved, what won't get approved, things like that, how clever the people are in terms of sussing out that you're actually marketing to them. So you have to actually also spend time like feeling out a subreddit before you start posting just to see like, what's the vibe here? You know, what am I going to be able to accomplish here? Things like that. But once you really get it down, it works incredibly well. Reddit ranks so fast. If you're uploading your own stuff, maybe send a PBN link or two to a thread that you've done. Get it showing up on page one. All of a sudden, it's in the AI overviews, showing up in Perplexity, showing up in ChatGPT, things like that. So it's also great for reputation management. I don't know if anybody's taken on that in terms of agency work. So if you get a client who has like some bad reviews on Reddit, you can change the narrative by making, a bunch of threads that are positive reviews, things like that. There's also some shady stuff you can do where you can use all of your accounts to basically report your bad reviews to get them taken down. It's not something that I partake in, but it's something that people do.
So is the idea, let's say you had the 20 accounts and you took your time and built the karma points or whatever kind of other things you need to do. Is the idea to post and then interact with your own posts and like post replies and upvote and have other just, I assume you have to do like some normal interactions with other stuff as well.
So the first thing you want to do is you want to look up what Reddit posts are already ranking in Google for your target keywords, because those are going to be the ones that are going to be getting pulled in by the AI answers and the LLMs. Then you go to that to see if it is still open for commenting, because sometimes older posts are closed for new comments. So you can't, leave any new comments. Sometimes, though, they're closed for new comments, but you can leave replies to other comments. So I think the best way to go about it is to leave comments on those posts, right? Comments tend to work better than starting new posts, because you just look like, an average person who's just recommending, a particular product or something like that. Then you use your other accounts to upvote your comments, things like that. Downvote the competitors' comments, things like that. It's all like kind of shady, right? Like, let's be honest. But the same works like if you want to shill your affiliate links in there, send people to your blog where you have, a buying guide, things like that. It's the same way to do it. So what if all of the Reddit posts that are ranking on page one in Google aren't accepting comments, aren't accepting replies? That's when you have to make a new post. Then you have to work on getting that post enough upvotes so that it gets replaces the others on page one. You're also probably going to need to send some PBN links or something to it as well, maybe 301 redirect and age domain to get that to basically replace it. So. Okay.
Yeah, I'm having flashbacks of like all the stuff we used to do in like 2014, 15, where, the Web 2.0 blogs, like blogger.com and all that. And then fake articles, and then you link some stuff, and then you have to get different IP addresses. So all that stuff. I mean,
it's work. I mean, that's for sure work.
And it gets complicated, like you said. You have to have like a very organized system to keep things straight. Yes. Otherwise, you may toast all the work that you did in the past.
Yeah. Wow. And you have to regularly check your accounts to make sure they didn't get banned and you don't know it also.
So do you have like a regular routine where once a month you spend a couple hours like going through and checking them?
I try to do it weekly in batches because I don't want to be basically doing client work with accounts that have been banned without me knowing they were banned. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah. So you have to make sure those are, plus if you like to switch tasks, it's perfect. You're like, I'm bored with this. Why don't I just check these 20 accounts or whatever?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like a productive procrastination method. Yeah. All right. Reddit marketing. Okay. Anything else with that made my brain hurt?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. No, I think that's it. Like I said, it's a process. Like, I don't think anyone should get into it not realizing, basically, it's a lot of work. You can farm it out. If you're farming it out, though, you need to check that their accounts aren't banned. I know there's someone on Twitter who keeps promoting their service, and I keep seeing they keep getting clients, and you can see their screenshots of where they're showing for proof. And then you go look it up on Reddit and the accounts are banned. So it's not, yeah. So you have to be really careful if you're hiring someone.
Good grief. All right, let's switch over to vibe coding. So okay. I'm on your email list, and I saw you sent something out that you're working on some stuff. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's all the rage. People are like, oh yeah, you can sign up and you just describe what you want. And then boom, you have a fully working SaaS product. So what have you been working on?
Well, I started it because I had two needs. The first need was I'm tired of paying a monthly fee to get the local SEO maps grid ranking thing when I only need a few of those a month. So I'm like, I'm going to make a tool where I can do these, you know, one at a time if I want, and then maybe I can also sell it as the pay-as-you-go model, right? That one hasn't actually gone live yet for people to buy, but it is working. So that's something that I'm going to release. Although, like you said earlier, I don't know shit about coding. I'm just trusting the little thing that you click in Lovable that says it's security checks, you know. But the other thing I've built, I used to have a guy who worked for me for Harrow stuff who had built like a custom GPT, essentially, where we could feed in client bios. And it would use that to do our Harrow answers for us. He left. I don't have that technology anymore because I don't know shit about making a custom GPT. But I can code up one on Lovable for myself to use. So I did that. It's working. But again, I don't trust the security checks of Lovable. So what I have made public is just essentially a user dashboard where someone can create an account, fill out an intake form for the Harrow style links, and then I can put a monthly report in their dashboard. So they don't actually, they are not, it's a completely separate thing from the internal tool. That was the best solution I could come up with, you know, for protecting, you know, people's things and keeping it separate. So essentially all that the people see publicly is that dashboard if they sign up, and the payment is connected through Stripe. So now I'm back to having a Harrow tool that I'm really excited about. I actually had to change the domain name this past week because apparently that domain had been registered before and burned on Facebook. So I couldn't run Facebook ads on that domain. So I had to buy a new domain, and I'm now running ads on it. I think authoritybacklinker.com, I think it was the new URL.
Gotcha.
So it's just Harrow links, super cheap because it is that same kind of system with the AI. You know, we feed in the bio, it connects with the open opportunities on featured and Harrow and stuff like that. And then we basically get the AI output and get the links. So, and I'm doing a slightly upgraded version of that that's a little more expensive, $300 a link, where we're doing also quoted. And one other, I think it's called Press Plugs. It's a UK specific one. And we're guaranteeing a minimum DR on that one, but there's actually going to be a human involved in that particular one to make the answers a little higher quality.
Gotcha. And perfect, you know, perfect examples where you were like, I have a problem trying to solve it. Yeah. And then you're working through it. What has the experience been like? Is it as easy as people say, like to get something working, how you expect it and all that?
I mean, it works as well as AI works, which is not very well, right? So I would tell it what I wanted and it would do it. And then I would say, no, you didn't do that part right. I need you to do it like this. So it would do what I asked for that time and completely erase everything it had already done. And so like, I'm just in there, I'm like, why did you change the header to that when I didn't ask you to? So it got to the point where when I'm using these tools now, I'm like, make the following change, and then in all caps, do not change anything else unless I tell you to. Like it's really a nightmare. Yeah.
And you know, AI has gotten better. So I suspect like over time it'll improve and all that stuff. And I think I made a similar rant, certainly before we started recording, which I should have just saved it so you don't have to hear it twice. But here we go. We're going to do it again. And I'm pretty sure I did a version of this on a previous episode, but essentially one of the issues that I have very, very specifically, so someone creates a tool and there are people out there that are like, I'm just going to create tools, try to get a handful of users, and then sell this SaaS product to someone else. Often they'll entice their email list or whoever they're selling to with a lifetime deal. So they'll create some tool. They're like, hey, and I'll give a specific example because it illustrates how people can get swept up with certain tools. So remember, it's not a actual software developer. It's just the marketers like us. And they're like, okay, I'm going to get this tool. It'll post on social media for you. It'll post on Facebook. It's automated, all this stuff. It's exactly what you need or what you think you need because the person is telling you that you need this to be able to like share stuff on Facebook. So they get a handful of users. I don't know, say 20. They get them to pay whatever, $150 for lifetime access. So they have paying users. The tool is, you know, working mostly, but there's always bugs and there's always changes on like interfaces, APIs, and otherwise. There's always updates and things that might break it. So the, you know, the marketer doesn't know how to fix the bugs. They try to go through, they don't know like proper testing and software development. So they like fix something, but they break three other things along the way. So it's kind of buggy. It's kind of hard to use, but they do have paying customers because they have an email list or something like that. So they were able to get some folks in. They sell the product to someone who like doesn't do any, like they just like let the tool die, which is pretty common. Or they're like, this is much harder to do than I thought. And then it dies. But essentially you end up with like customers that paid and then the tool like doesn't do what it's supposed to. And then the software just dies. Mm-hmm. It's too easy to spawn these up. So and the thing is like years ago, I didn't like the lifetime deal for a lot of stuff because it's not sustainable for the company and eventually they'll go out of business. So, you know, like AppSumo, famous, like I unsubscribed from everything. Like I'm like, don't show me anything related to Noah Kagan or AppSumo. It's just like they beat up the folks that they were working with, their partners, and then like the partners would go out of business. Now I haven't paid attention in a few years, so maybe it's like completely the opposite now, but I was like, I kind of had enough of these guys. So any thoughts on that?
I agree. Like for me, like I don't know anything about it. Right. So I would never even think about trying to flip a tool that I coded with one of these things. Right. And one of the other things that I think is a real problem with these tools that I forgot to mention, which you may or may not already know about, is the output of it, the website it makes, I think it's supposed to be in some type of JavaScript or something. So it is not in the format that Google likes to read, right? So what I've been reading is people saying things don't rank as well because Google doesn't like the way it's laid out, right? And so I keep seeing these people, you know, on Twitter and stuff being like, why should I pay a web designer to make me a website when I can make one for $25 and lovable? Well, you dipshit, it's not going to be good enough to rank as well as something you make in WordPress because you're just trying to save money. You know, so it's something that it's like one of those things where you don't know what you don't know, and they don't know that they're hurting themselves that way. And like, I put a call out in my newsletter of people asking to explain to me, like, what do I need to know about this? And it's like super complicated, it seems to me, at least as a non-coder, to get it from what the output is and say lovable into what we think of as a traditional, you know, website with HTML that we can, you know, view the source code of and things like that. And so it's not something that I feel comfortable doing myself. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of other people who do as well.
Right. And then, you know, the folks that do figure it out and they're like, okay, like I will port this over to the right format or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like they will have learned a lot. And like,
right,
you could obviously learn this stuff. Like I was,
right, yeah,
you know, going on about the software development cycle and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You could go through a course in a couple hours and kind of have the broad points and go deeper where you need to. So it's not like it's not solvable, but it's just like, it's people are lazy inherently, and they're like, if I could do this in an easier way, then I'll do it the easier way. And there's some very low resistance decisions and paths that you could take. So you end up with, you know, potentially kind of working tools slash, again, you don't know what you don't know. Yeah. So you're like, oh, I created this tool and it's out there and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. It's interesting. Well, what's next on your tool to-do list? Do you have some other things that you're like, okay, I'm gonna check this out? Because you're going to be getting better and better as you go along.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like I've accomplished what I've wanted to accomplish for the most part, but it's also been a lot of frustration along the way. And it's not like for me, it's like what I want to spend my time on in the day, right? Because all of the hours I spent, I mean, let's be honest here, all of the hours I spent making my local rank tracker tool, I should have just fucking paid for the month and only used it a few times with someone else's tool. I mean, honestly. Because it was a lot of time. And like, yeah, did I learn some stuff? Yeah, I did learn some stuff. Is this stuff I'm ever going to use again? I don't know. Could I have learned something better? Probably. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, when someone already solved the problem and it's like, well, it costs a little money, but like, is it worth it? So, but you know what you like or don't like to do? You're like, you know what? Will it be worth it to take, you know, whatever, another few days or several hours to like get something going. So, all right. Well, as we're moving through, last thing on my list here, I think, will be the KDP book. So you've mentioned these in the past when I've interviewed you. So yeah, what do you have going on with the KDP?
Yeah, I wanted to do this last year and I ran out of time. So I've already started on it this year. Q4 for Amazon books, you can make a ton of money targeting print books that are gift books, right? Just some easy examples are going to be things like joke books for kids. If you want to make like planners, journals, a lot of cookbooks sell that time of year. Like basically any type of gift book that you can think of, like go to Barnes and Noble, walk around, see what they have in the gift book section. You can probably do it as well. And coloring books are also always really big this time of year. Activity books like crosswords, word search, things like that. And I feel like it is such a great opportunity, especially like right now. All you know, buy a year of Ideogram or whatever it's called for $180. Crank out those coloring book pages. Even if you have to pay somebody to format it for you for KDP, why the fuck would you not do this? Like, I'm so mad I didn't have time last year. I'm going to go fucking crazy this year on it, though. Yeah. And that's like all I'm doing. It's like the print books that people will buy as gifts.
Okay. So you focus down. And then do you, it reminds me similar to like the digital printables, right? That I've interviewed a few folks. The marketplace they focus on is Etsy. So often giftables are really good. Yeah. There's fewer returns as opposed to like print on demand, like shirts or things that won't fit. But the giftables, it's like pretty straightforward. So have you identified like niches that you think will work really well? Or are you aiming for like a volume of products across many different areas? Or are you just kind of focusing in on this product type for different users and stuff?
So it's a little of both. I have a video on my channel of a tool called BookBeam. It is the tool I 100% recommend for anyone wanting to try this. They do have monthly plans. They also usually do a pretty good Black Friday sale, but it will have been too late for you if you wait until Black Friday.
Right.
But it is basically a keyword research tool that will show you, you can like see like what was popular last Q4? How's that trend been looking since? Okay, this is what I'm going to target, right? It will show you the titles that are ranking. It will show you the estimated sales, like how much they made, things like that. Like it is an insane tool. It's perfect for this kind of research. Like there's cookbook ideas that I found in there that I'm going to run with this year, things like that. I don't know what will pop, if anything, for me, but I'm definitely going to make it basically a throw shit at the wall and see what sticks kind of situation. The thing, though, is you are going to have to run some ads more than likely on Amazon to get your initial traction. I was talking with someone a few weeks ago who told me they focus 100% on evergreen things that are big during this time of year as gifts, and they only run ads in Q4. And this person made like $30,000 last Q4. That was profit after ads. And I think she said she spent like $2,500 on ads in Q4. So it was like a crazy profit margin. She has 600 books, I think she said.
Holy cow. And, yeah. Is it a lot of like giftable type things?
Yeah. That's all. Yeah. And all it is. Yeah.
Very cool.
And a lot of this stuff, like if you're doing coloring books and stuff, you can cross promote that over on Etsy, because you can buy author copies at a discount from Amazon. So you could basically order them and ship direct to people if you wanted to.
Got it. Very
interesting. That's like not something I'm doing, but you could.
Very cool. All right. Well, I want to wrap it up here, but you did mention your YouTube channel, and I know you've been publishing more and more there, and you have some useful and helpful things, like many of the things we talked about you cover over there. What's coming up, like upcoming videos or anything like that that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of stuff on directory sites. I have a few more of those videos I'll be doing. Today, I'm actually recording a Reddit marketing, like start to finish Reddit marketing video. It'll probably be out by the time you publish this. I also have scripted one on SaaS SEO. Basically, I take requests. So people on my newsletter send me emails and they're like, hey, can you do a video on blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, okay. So, yeah.
Perfect. Yep. And we'll link up to the channel so people can check it out and all that stuff. And like I said, you cover exactly what we've been talking about. Yeah, you go through stuff so people can learn. All right. Well, thanks, Shauna. Really appreciate it. Always fun to catch up.
Yeah. I'll have a good time with you all the time, right?
Yeah. All right. We'll have you on again soon.
Cool.